Good morning. Today's daf in Megillah's daf yud. We are on Testament base, and we're a little bit behind. We're starting today at the Mishnah that is about a quarter of the way down, a third of the way down. The Mishnah here is going to be continuing along the series of Ein Bein. So the Mishnah has gave us a series of Ein Beins, and the reason why the Mishnah is definitely going off course and not staying on the topic of Megillah is because we had a Mishnah just a number of Mishnahs ago that described the difference between the Adar Rishon and Adar Sheni, that in the leap year when there's a second Adar. So now, which is the Adar in which we're going to be, doing the mitzvahs of Purim, Megillas Esther, et cetera, et cetera. So that was one Mishnah. And then the Mishnah said, look, we have this refrain of Ein Bein, so we're just going to plug this into other areas of Halacha. And that's what we did in yesterday's daf. And that's, again, what we're going to do in today's daf. Today, we're going to finish off all the Ein Bein Mishnayos. And then from that point going forward, so we're going to move on to Darshan the Megillah. When we get there, I'll give a little bit more of an introduction to that. But anyway, we are on to our next topic, and that's the Kohen Gadol. So the Kohen Gadol, obviously the one responsible for the Avodah on Yom Kippur, going into the Kodesh HaKadoshim, and he's the Kohen Gadol. In other words, he's on the top of the totem pole of Kohanim, and there are underneath him a number of higher officers, but below the Kohen Gadol, you have the Skan, you have the Kohen Meshuch Mechama. But anyway, so our Mishnah over here is going to be discussing a number of differences between the Kohen Gadol. So just as a quick introduction to the first Mishnah we're going to be doing today, so how do you become the Kohen Gadol? So the Torah describes where he's going to be anointed, right? We saw this by Aaron. So you take the Shemna Mishcha, which the Torah goes into detail in terms of how to put it together, and together with the Shemana Mishcha, so you are going to anoint the Kohen Gadol. So the Gemara in Croesus, okay, I'm not 100% sure about that, but anyway, the Gemara describes the anointment elsewhere. Shemana Mishcha was around, but not for long. In other words, during the end of Bais Rishon, so Yoshiyahu took the Shemana Mishcha and he put it in Geniza. Okay. So now, but there was still plenty of Beis HaMikdash to go, meaning there was the end of the first Beis HaMikdash, and there was the totality of the second Beis HaMikdash. So then, how do you appoint the Kohen Gadol without the Shemana Mishcha? And so the answer is very simple. In other words, Merubah Begadim, he just simply wears a big day Kohen Gadol. Begadim, the Kohen Gadol is different than Kohen Hejot. Kohen Hejot wears Dal Begadim. Kohen Gadol wears Shmona Begadim. So right now, the Gemara says that's going to be the difference between a Kohen Gadol that is Meshuach B'Shemana Mishcha, the Mishnah's terminology is Kohen HaMashuach, versus the Kohen who is Meruba Begadim. Okay, but they're both Kohen Gadols, and so effectively, they're pretty much the same, but there is going to be a notable difference, and that's the first halacha we're going to learn together in the Mishnah. Ein Ben Kohen Mashuach B'Shemana Mishcha Le Meruba Begadim. What's the only difference between them? So Ella Par Haba Al Kol HaMitzvos, except for the Karban Chatas that they're going to bring. Open up Vayikra, open up Perek Dalet, and there you're going to see that the Torah outlines that a Kohen Gadol, when he violates one of the Sirei Krisos, so he's not going to bring a standard Karban Chatas that you and I would bring. You and I would bring a goat, and they would bring a par. Okay, for the same Avera. But in other words, they have a unique Karban that they need to bring. That's the Torah's description over there. And so now we're learning that as a halacha, this only applies to a Kohen Gadol who was anointed with the Shemana Mishcha, not to the Kohen Gadol who was not anointed with the Shemana Mishcha. Okay? And the Gemara is going to discuss how we know that. Anyway, that's one halacha. A second halacha in the Mishnah is Ein Ben Kohen HaMishamesh Kohen She'avar. So let's say you have two Kohen Gadols. One was a standing Kohen Gadol, right? A Kohen She'avar. Well, meaning that the current Kohen Gadol, something happened, and so you had a stand-in Kohen Gadol, and now the Mishnah goes on to describe that they're basically both still the Kohen Gadol. But the stand-in stood in, and now the original Kohen Gadol was able to come back. He was temporarily disqualified, whatever happened. Anyway, so now you have the Kohen HaMishamesh and the Kohen She'avar. So the difference between them is the only difference between them is Ella Par Yom HaKippurim and Asir Saifa. So the Par Yom Kippur, meaning who's going to be doing the Avodah on the on Yom Kippur, and specifically bringing the Par of the Kohen Gadol. We discussed this in length in Masechta Yuma. So that's only going to be the current Kohen Gadol and not the Kohen She'avar. Additionally, Asir Saifa. So the Kohen Gadol is going to be bringing a Mincha every day in Asir Saifa. So that is only coming from the Kohen HaMishamish not from the Kohen Sha'avar. Okay. But outside of that, they're both Kohen Gadols. Okay. Except for those two halachas. So the Gemara right now is going to be Medayik. We're at the first part of the Mishnah, and the Gemara goes on to describe Halein Yom Par Yom HaKippur and Asir Seifa, Zevet Zeshavin. So as far as the Par of Yom Kippur and the Asir Seifa, so they're both going to be the same, meaning it doesn't matter how you were anointed or appointed as Kohen Gadol. So still, the Par Yom Kippur is going to be brought by that Kohen, as is the Asir Seif as well. Masisin Delok Reb Meir. The Gemara just simply notes that our mission is not going like Reb Meir. De'i Reb Meir HaTanya. Gemara says, you know, the Shita Reb Meir, and that is Meruba Begad de Mevi Paraba Alkoa Mitzvos Diver Rabbi Meir. Ve'chachamim Omrim Eino Mevi. So Rabbi Meir says that the Meruba Begadim also is going to bring the Par. Meaning, if he does an Avera, so he brings a special carbon chatos of the par. That Shita's Reb Meir. So my time with the Reb Meir, and the reason the base is Reb Meir, the Tanya learned in the Braisa, Mashiach Ainli Ela Mashiach V'Shem Mishcha. In fact, if you open up to the fourth parak of Vayikra, you're going to see the Torah describing the par of the Kohen Gadol, and the Torah uses the word Mashiach, which means that it has to be an anointed Kohen Gadol, not an appointed Kohen Gadol. I wasn't planning for such good alliteration. Okay, whatever. Obviously, the cup of coffee worked this morning. So it sounds like for the pasuk, it's only the anointed Kohen Gadol, not the appointed one. So the Gemara says, "Ela Mashuch B'Shem Namishcha Meruba Begadim." Ela Mashuch B'Shem Namishcha Kama Meruba Begadim Minayin. How do I know that it also applies to Meruba Begadim as well? So Tamalomer Hamashiach. You have the hay. The hay is a is open for a drasha, which means that we're being marbe, we're coming to include. And what we're coming to include is a meruba begadim, that even he's going to bring a par, if in fact he needs to. B'mayu kimna, deloker emeir, so the Gemara says, okay, now, comes out like this. First part of our Mishnah, making a distinction between, a Kohen Meshuach Meshem and a Mishcha versus a Kohen Meruba, that's meruba begadim. So we just clearly outlined that that's not going like the Shita Remeir. So the Gemara says, Eima Seifa. Now, let's go to the second half of the Mishnah. What do we learn in the second half of the Mishnah? The Gemara goes on to describe. Ein ben kohen, amisham mishle kohen, shavar, ela par yama kippur, and vasir seifa. Ha lechol divrehem, shavin. As far as every other halacha, the current kohen and the past kohen, so they're going to be equal with notable exceptions that we know in our Mishnah. So Asan L'Rav Meir. So that's the Shita Rav Meir. The Gemara says, how do I know that's the Shita Rav Meir? D'tanya will enter the Braisa. So the Ira B'Psul, let's say the Kohen Gadol becomes Psul, temporarily disqualified. Uminu Kohen Acher Tachtav. And now what happens now is that you have a replacement who's going to be taking his place temporarily. So Rishon Chozer L'Avodaso. So what happens now when the original Kohen now is ready to resume work, so he resumes work. And Sheni Kol Mitzvah Skuna Gadola Alav. Div Reb Meir. And Reb Meir says that as far as the sub is concerned, so the temp is going to be Kohen Gadol. For all intents and purposes, the temp is a Kohen Gadol. Now, if you hear that, you clearly hear that that's our Mishnah. Meaning, our Mishnah says that with notable exceptions, so the temp is going to have the status of a Kohen Gadol. Okay, good. So meaning that's the Shita Reb Meir. Now, you realize now what the Gemara is basically setting us up for is that the first half of the Mishnah is not Reb Meir, and the second half of the Mishnah is Reb Meir, and that's choppy. And the Gemara doesn't like that. But that's what we're setting ourselves up for. But in the meantime, however, let's just quickly finish up the Braisa. Rabbi Yossi Omer, Rishon Chozer L'Avoda. So, Rabbi Yossi says that the first one is going to go back to the Avoda. And Sheni Ein Aroi, Lo L'Kohen Gadol, Lo L'Kohen Hedjot. So, and as far as the temp is concerned, so the temp, when he steps down, so now he's in limbo. And the Gemara goes on to explain. The Amr Rav Yossi Maisab Rav Yossi Ben Ulam Mitzi Parshir Rav Psul B'Kohen Gadol. So there was actually a Kohen Gadol that had a Psul. Uminuhu Tachtav. And they appointed this Rav Yossi Ben Ulam as a temp. And Uba Maisal Lefnei Chacham V'Amr Rav Yishon Chozal Avraso. Now what happens when the original Kohen Gadol is able to resume his Kohen Gadol responsibilities? So the Sheni Einarai Lelo Kohen Gadol Lelo Kohen Hedjot. So that put now the temp in a limbo position where LeKohen Gadol Mishomeva, he can't serve as a Kohen Gadol because that's going to create animosity between the original and the temp, meaning the temp is now going to be serving as Kohen Gadol, and the original is looking at him and, wait a second, I'm the Kohen Gadol, and it's going to create Eva. And LeKohen Hedjot Mishom Malam Bekodesh V'lo Maridin. Now he can't just simply drop down to a standard Kohen because once you go up in Kedusha, you can't go down in Kedusha. Okay, so you put yourself in a tough spot. What's the resolution? Where exactly does he exist? So that is an important discussion, but we're not going to have it right now. In the meantime, we're just going to focus on the fact that the Mishnah now, first half of the Mishnah is not going like Reb Meir, second half of the Mishnah is going like Reb Meir, and you know, the Gemara is generally speaking uncomfortable with that. So Reisha Rabbanan Sefer Rabbi Meir, so I'm Rav Chista and Reisha Rabbanan Sefer Rabbi Meir. So Rav Chista says, I know you're uncomfortable with it, but over here, okay, so get comfortable with being uncomfortable. Okay, that's how it works. So Rav Yosef, I'm a Rav Yosef, says, no, that's not necessary. And that is, Rebbe Hi Vanasiv Allah, Aliba Tatanai. It could very well be that, no, the Mishnah is a third-party Mishnah, meaning the Mishnah really is attributed to the Shita of Rebbe Yehuda Hanasi, and Rebbe Yehuda Hanasi, on some areas of Hilchos Kohen Gadol, subscribes to Chachamim, and some areas of Hilchos Kohen Gadol, subscribes to Rav Meir. But it doesn't have to be that our Mishnah is presenting two different viewpoints. It could be that our Mishnah is providing for us a third viewpoint who happens to split the difference in terms of which positions he subscribes to. Okay. That is topic number one, officially in the books. Next topic for today. So we find ourselves on the Mishnah, second to last Mishnah, on this Amud. So, Ein Bein Bamagdola Bamagtana El Psachim. Okay, so a brief crash course history lesson. So we're going to need to know a little bit of history today, tomorrow. So over here, let's talk about the history of the Beis HaMikdash. We go through the Midbar, so we have what's called the Mishkan. Good. We go into Eretz Yisrael. Now, when we go into Eretz Yisrael, so 14 years, so we need to get our act together. 7 years of conquest, 7 years of dividing the land of Eretz Yisrael. So what we're going to do is that we're going to set up a Bama, a temporary station where people are going to be able to bring karbanos. So this is what's called the Bama Gedola. Okay, and this was set up in Gilgal. Then after those 14 years, so now we're going to be setting up I'm ready to say the word Beis HaMikdash, but it wasn't exactly a Beis HaMikdash, it was a Mishkan, and it was situated in Shiloh. And it was there for a really long time, 369 years, that the Mishkan was in Shiloh. Then what happens is that Shiloh was destroyed, and now there is an interim period between the destruction of Shiloh, excuse me, and the building of the Beis HaMikdash. The building of the Beis HaMikdash took place 480 years after Yetzias Mitzrayim. So there was a lag. There was about a 50-year interval between 50, what's the number?
57.
Thank you. Oh, okay, good. Fact checkers. I love it. So 57 years between the destruction of Shiloh and the construction of the Beis HaMikdash. And so here we are now in a stage where Bamas would be okay. The Bamas that were set up at that point in time were in the cities of Nov and Givon. The reason why it wasn't in one place is because Nov, unfortunately, Shaul killed the Kohanim of Nov. And so, therefore, during these 57 years, sorry, I'm back. During those 57 years, it was split between Nov and Givon. Anyway, so during the 14 years and during the 57 years, so you have Bama Gedolos, and during those interim period of times also, people were allowed to make Bamas in their own backyard. So that means to say that in our backyard, instead of having a grill, we would have a small little Bama. We could offer a carbon in our backyard. So this is the allowance for Bama Katanas during these small historical periods of time. And that's it. Meaning during Shiloh, there were no Bamas that were allowed. And obviously, once there's a Beis HaMikdash, there's no Bamas that are allowed as well. Okay. With all that stated, so now the Mishnah is pointing out, so now what's the difference between a Bama Gedola and a Bama Katana? So the Mishnah says that there is no difference except for the Karban Pesach, which are only offered on Bama Gedola. You can't bring the Karban Pesach in your backyard when there was an allowance to have a Bama Katana in your backyard. Okay, we're going to clarify the Mishnah in just a moment. And now is the Aklal. Kol shu nidav nidav karv babama. In other words, which karbanos can you bring in your backyard? So only voluntary karbanos, ned or nadav, that can be brought in your backyards. But anything which is a chova, so that can be brought and only brought on the Bama Gedola, not in the Bama Katana. So the Gemara says, immediately, I am confused. What's going on over here? So the Mishnah says, Psachim Visulo. So the Gemara says, and what? And nothing more than Karban Pesach? So the... In fact, you look at the second half of the Mishnah, and in the second half of the Mishnah, it says that anything which is neder and dava can be brought in your backyard, and anything which is obligatory, so that's going to be brought in Bama Gedola. So why is the Mishnah only focusing on Psachim? So Ema came Psachim. So the Gemara says, now Psachim is just simply an example. But the truth of the matter is that anything that behaves like a Karban Pesach i.e. it is an obligation, and it's also calendaric, so that has to be brought on the Bama Gadola. Mani, Rabbi Shimon. So this is the Shita, Rabbi Shimon, the Tanya Melech and Abraisa. Rabbi Shimon, Amar, Av Tziba, Lo Hikrivu, Ela Psachim V'Chovos. Shekavu Lam Zman, V'Chovos, Shein Kavu Lam Zman, So Hacha V'Hacha Lo Krav. So, if it is an obligation and it's calendaric, it's attached to the calendar, you must be bringing it on a specific date, like a Karban Pesach. So that's brought on Bama Gadola. If it's Neder Nedava, if it's voluntary, that you can bring on Bama Katana. Now, what if it's obligatory, but not calendaric? Examples? So Rashi says over here, Par Helm Dover Shel Tzibur. So in the event that the Beis Din has a psak and it's erroneous and the people follow the erroneous psak of the Beis Din, there's a special carbon that's brought that needs to be brought. So it's an obligation, but it's not calendaric, meaning it's not attached to any date on the calendar. So that's a chova she'in kavu lahem zman. So something like that. So it's not going to be brought in Bama Gadola and it's not going to be brought in Bama Katana. Sounds like it's just simply not brought, meaning, in other words, if the need arises where it's going to be brought, it just simply, there's no option, there's nowhere to bring it. So anyway, so our Mishnah is in fact going like the Shita of Rabbi Shimon. Okay, next topic of discussion, and that is a comparison and a contrast of Shiloh and Yerushalayim. As we just pointed out, Shiloh, the Mishkan was set up in Shiloh for a long time, 369 years. Again, the Shiloh was destroyed, and the Beis HaMikdash now comes and is built. Now we know, again, just another crash course in Jewish history, so we know that the first Beis HaMikdash lasted for 410 years, destroyed, we went into Gullus for 70 years, and then we built a second Beis HaMikdash, and that second Beis HaMikdash lasted from our Masorah, 420 years. Okay, if you look at any historical work that is not based on our Masorah, so they're going to give you a slightly larger number, actually a much larger number. So they're going to speak somewhere in the range of 500 plus years. Okay, a discrepancy. We spoke about this discrepancy in the past. It doesn't matter. For our purposes right now, we're going to go with our Masorah, 420 years of Bayi Sheni. Okay, and then Bayi Sheni was destroyed, and now we've been without a Beis HaMikdash now for just about 2,000 years. Okay, crash course. So now the differences between Mishkan Shiloh and the Beis HaMikdash. Ein ben Shilo Yerushalayim, Ela Shebeshilo Ochlin Kachin Kalem, Umaiser Shein Bechol Aroa, Uvi Yerushalayim Lefnim and Achoma. So as far as Shiloh is concerned, so it is a quasi Beis HaMikdash, meaning it basically functions as a Beis HaMikdash. Now, when you're eating your Kachin Kalem, meaning you're eating your Shlamim, or you're eating your Maiser Sheini, so now there are no walls around Shiloh. So there is no perimeter that you have to be interior of. So what is going to be establishing where you can eat your shlamim? B'chol HaRoa. As long as you are within sight of Shiloh, so you can eat your shlamim and your Maaser Sheni. However, in Yerushalayim, as we know, we discuss all the time, you have to be within Chomas Yerushalayim. You have to be within the walls of Yerushalayim. So v'kan, kashikam ne'achalim, lifnim and aklaim. Now, both by Shiloh and by Yerushalayim. So if you're eating Kashim Kala, meaning if you're a Kohen who is eating Karban Chatas, so that must be eaten within the Kalaim, within the walls. That, they're on equal footing with one another, both Yerushalayim and Shiloh. Okay. Kedusha Shiloh, so let's make one more point over here. Kedusha Shiloh, Yeshachareh Heter. When Shiloh was destroyed, so upon the destruction of Shiloh, so now Bamas would be allowed, temporarily, until Yerushalayim. However, Kedusha Yerushalayim ain't acharei heter. But once Yerushalayim is destroyed, so ain't acharei heter. So there is no longer any kind of heter of bama. You can't make a bama katana. You can't bring a bama katana. Meaning there's simply no heter after Churban Yerushalayim. Okay. So that's we noted the similarities and the differences of Shiloh versus Yerushalayim. The Gemara starts off in a really interesting place. We are on the very top of Yud Amud Aleph. I'm Rav Yitzchak Shamati. So Rav Yitzchak says, I heard the following. I have a Masorah, and that is Shemakrivan Beveis Chonyo, that one that they are offering Karbanos Beveis Chonyo. Okay, Chonyo built a Mizbech, and he built it in Mitzrayim. Chonyo lived years earlier, centuries earlier. He was one of the sons of Shemna Tzadik, and based on a story which we're not going to go through right now, we saw the story at the end of Zvachim, if I remember correctly, but regardless, without going through the story right now, he built the Mizbeach in Mitzrayim, right? Basically, a quasi Beis HaMikdash, but it had a Mizbeach, and it was operational. And so there is a discussion, a debate, as we're going to touch on in just a moment. Was it for HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Was it a base of Avodah Zarah? Okay, we are going to assume right now that it was for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's what we're going to assume. The Gemara is going to make that point really clearly. Anyway, but what Rabbi Yitzchak is testifying is that, look, this Mizbech has been around for years, centuries. I hear they're still offering Karbanos on it to this very day. Meaning to this very day, what he's describing is post-Chorban Beis HaMikdash. And he's describing post-Chorban Bayis Sheni, obviously. So the, Bezman is that. So Kasavar, so the Gemara says, now for Rabbi Yitzchak to even report this. So Kasavar Beis Chonyola Beis Avodah Zarah. So first assumption we have to make is it's not a Beis Avodah Zarah. Had it been a Beis Avodah Zarah, then there's nothing to talk about. You certainly can't bring a Karban in a Makam Avodah Zarah. So that's number one. And because Sefer Shekedushas Rishon Kishla Shaitavlo Kishla Selavo, and then we're going to have to make a second assumption, and this is a huge topic to say the very least. But we're going to just touch on it, and that is that the kedusha of Yerushalayim, in this case, we're really talking about the kedusha of the Beis Hamikdash. So, is there while the Beis Hamikdash is there, but once the Beis Hamikdash is destroyed, so now there is no longer a kedusha to the Beis HaMikdash, and therefore Bamas are allowed anywhere you want. Meaning, had the Kedusha of the Beis HaMikdash remained in perpetuity, even though there's no actual Beis HaMikdash, so that means to say then, of course, that you can't make a Bama elsewhere. Meaning, the Bamas are only allowed in a place where there is no central location. But once there's a central location, and even if there's no physical central location, but there remains a spiritual central location, so that's it, Bamas are not allowed. So for Rabbi Yitzchak to report and subscribe to this idea that they're offering Karbanos and Beis Chonyo in Mitzrayim, so it must be that with the Chorban Beis HaMikdash, so now Bamas are allowed. Okay, that's what the Gemara is assuming. And now, how does he know that? Now, hopefully what should bother you right now is that clearly our Mishnah is not in line with that. Okay, we're gonna introduce that in just a moment. But the Gemara says, now how did he arrive at that conclusion? So he has what's called the Hekdesh. Dechsiv, the Pasuk says, when the Torah describes what is going to come when we go into Eretz Yisrael, so it gives two terms to describe it. There's something called Menucha, and there's something called Nachla. And we know through our Masorah that the Menucha is a reference to Shiloh, and the Nachla is a reference to Yerushalayim. And now, Hekesh, Mekesh Nachla Menucha. Ma Menucha Yeshachre Heter, Af Nachla Yeshachre Heter. And so we know that there is a heter after Shiloh. Everyone agrees to that. Everyone subscribes to that. So just like there's a heter after the destruction of Shiloh, there's also going to be a heter after the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash in Yerushalayim. Okay, so this is all the shita of Rabbi Yitzchak, and now the Gemara is going to go in attack mode. So the Gemara says, Amru lo amart. So first of all, so Rabbi Yitzchak was interviewed, okay, and with the microphone in his face. I know it's a little anachronistic, but with the microphone in his face, so the interrogators went on to ask, did you really say that? So Amar lo lo. So he says, no, denial. He denied that he said it. Now, Amar Rav Elokim Amarta v'gamina lamine. So Rav says, I can't understand what you're doing right now. Why are you denying that you said it? I know you said it. I heard it from you. Okay, now I'd love to give you a little more clarity on the back and forth that just happened in the Gemara right now. Right? Why did he deny it? Rava immediately corrected him. He couldn't refute the fact that he actually said it. So obviously there's what's going on over here in terms of the back and forth. I don't have real clarity on what just happened over here, but okay, he said it. So the Gemara says, "My time kahad derbe." So the Gemara says, "Now you're looking to retract. So why? So mishum kashya to Rav Meri, because I'm bothered by the question of Rav Meri. The motive Rav Meri. Rav Meri was asked the following question in our Mishnah: Kedusha Shila Yesha Chareha. Heter, Kedusha Yerushalayim, Ein Acharei Heter. And the difference between them is, the question is predicated on our Mishnah. Look what we learned in our Mishnah. In our Mishnah, it says clearly that only after Shiloh can you build a Bama. But after the Chorban Yerushalayim, you can't build a Bama. Our Mishnah couldn't say it any clearer. So the Gemara says, Votanan, and if that in of itself didn't bother you, the following also bothers me, which is the Gemara in Zvachim. Misha ba'al Yerushalayim Nesra Abanos V'lo Yalem Od Heter V'hi Haisa L'Nachala. So in Zvachim we learned also that after Korban Beis HaMikdash, so there's no Heter Bamos. So you have a Mishnah here in Megillah. You have a Mishnah in Zvachim. Okay, so now what comes out is the following. What's there to talk about? Meaning, how can I now entertain that they're allowed legitimately to offer Karbanos in Beis Chonya? Okay. So, just again, it's things that I don't fully understand. In other words, Rav Yitzchak is just reporting what he heard. Shamati. Right? Shamati Shemakrivim Beis Chonya. Does that necessarily mean he subscribes to it? In other words, by virtue of the fact that that he retracted, so he just wanted to disassociate himself from that statement, even though he himself is not saying he did it, but he wants to remove himself from that statement. Anyway, what comes out now is the following: are you allowed to offer karbanos outside of the Beis HaMikdash after the Churban Beis HaMikdash? Our Mishnah says no. In Zvachim we learned no. Rabbi Yitzchak reported but retracted that they did it. So the Gemara says Tanaihi. The Gemara says okay. So what comes out over here is really it's a machlokas tanaim, and now how do I know it's a machlokas tanaim? Did not. So this is the Gemara. It's a Mishnah in Adios. It's the eighth parak of Adios. Amar Rabbi Elazar Shemati Shekisha Hayu Bonim Beheichal, when they would be building in the Heichal, meaning when they were building the second base of Mikdash, Osin Kalayim Leheichal. So. For the walls that were not yet built, so they make curtains. And the climb la azara. In addition to that, they also make climb for the azara as well. Ela shebehechal. Now, as far as the hechal is concerned, so the bonin mi bachutz. In other words, what they would do is for these curtains is that we're assuming that there's a wall space. And where they would put the curtains is on the interior of the wall space. So that they would be able to be bonin mi bachutz. However, but as far as the Azara is concerned, so bonim mibifnim. So there they would build on the inside, meaning the curtains would be on the exterior of the wall space. Now, that's what he heard. So what difference does it make whether it's interior or whether it's exterior? So look at Rashi over here. Climb lahechal. So kasa kadach, so Rashi points out what our thought process is at this point in time. Kasa kadach b'makam chomos hechal. She'im izbech abanu b'azara kari asher pesach o'amoed. That the Mizbeach that is going to be built there has to be Pesach Ol Moed. It has to be opposite the entrance of the Ol Moed. Now Rashi points out, now look, as we're constructing the Beis HaMikdash, we're also offering Karbanos as well. And Rashi's about to point out, so there was a 22-year lag between the building of the second Beis HaMikdash and the fully finished Beis HaMikdash. And for those 22 years, so they're going to be offering Karbanos. Now how? How are you going to be offering Karbanos? So what you'll do is that they'll put curtains around so that temporarily we'll have the, it'll be Pesach O'amoed. V'heim iskul, I'm reading the Rashi. V'heim iskul l'akriv Karbanos, mishabau sham, b'imei korish, k'moshe katsu b'sefer Ezra, v'ad esr v'shnaim shana, achre ken lo nigbar abayis b'shana shosu dar yavish ha'achron. And so for 22 years while constructing, they also offered Karbanos as well. It certainly gave you, it gives us the sense of how much they wanted to bring Karbanos, that the moment they had an opportunity, even though I can easily imagine it interferes with construction, nevertheless, they brought the Karbanos at that point in time. So, they put up the walls. It's fine. So, V'amar Rabbi Yoshua, that's right now the Havamina. And so, within that Havamina, what do we see over here? Is that there's a Kedusha. Okay, we're going to come back to that. V'amar Rabbi Yeshua, we're back in the Gemara. Shamati, Rabbi Yeshua says, here's something I heard as well. I have this as a Masorah. Makrivim afa pishein bayis. That you can offer karbanos in the makom ha-mikdash, even though there's no actual physical edifice. V'ochlin kachikashim afa pishein klaim. You can eat karbanos there. You don't need walls. So, kashim kalim umayser sheni afa pishein choma. You can eat kachim kalim and maister sheni, even though there's no physical walls. Mimneshik dusha vishona. Because the Kedusha exists in perpetuity. Okay, so, as far as Shita's Rabbi Yeshua is concerned, there is nothing to talk about, meaning his position could not be stated any clearer. He's clearly of the position that the Kedusha of Yerushalayim exists in perpetuity, even if there's no physical edifice. That's clear. Now what we get to do is we get to look back at Rabbi Eliezer, and now we're gonna contrast and compare. So, Michlal, the Rebbe Lazar Savar, lo kitchel asilavo. And that would mean that Rebbe Lazar says that no, that the Kedusha does not exist in perpetuity, and the Kedusha of Yerushalayim will only be a function of the physical edifice, the building. And if there's no building, there's no Kedusha, which is now seemingly goes back to explain why it is that when they got there, so they wanted to bring Karbanos right away. Oh, wait, hold on a second. We can't do it yet. We got to put up makeshift walls. Now we can go ahead and offer Karbanos because you need building. Now, the actual structure of the building, it could even be makeshift, but you need building. So what comes out now, seemingly what we have our finger on is the machlokas between Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Yeshua, whether the Kedusha of Yerushalayim, the Kedusha of the Beis HaMikdash, is going to be there only with building or even without building. Now it comes out that whether or not you can offer a bama in Beis Chonyo after Chorban Beis HaMikdash, so if your Shita is Rabbi Yeshua, the answer is unequivocally no, you cannot. Because we have a Beis HaMikdash. We don't have an actual Beis HaMikdash, but in other words, the Kedusha is there. And once the Kedusha is there, there's no Heter Bamas. Meanwhile, the way we're presenting it right now, Rabbi Elazar would say, nah, once the Beis HaMikdash is destroyed, so now there's no central location, now Bamas are allowed. That's right now the way the Gemara is setting it up. So Amr Le, Ravina Le, Rav Ashi Mimai, Dima Dekuli Amma, Kedusha Rishon, Nekisha La Shai, Sefa Kisha La Se Lava. Omar Mai Deshmiya Le Kamar, Omar Mai Deshmiya Le Kamar. So as far as Ravina is concerned, Ravina says to Rav Ashi, you're making way too much of this. In other words, what these Tanaim are doing is just simply reporting what they heard. We're making the assumptions of what the halachic issues are. But that's our assumptions. Just, in other words, they're just simply saying what they heard. So if that's true, so why for Rabbi Elazar would they have to put up makeshift walls? Meaning, if you're allowed to offer karbanos even without walls, so why would you make walls? So the Gemara says, "Litzniusa ba'ama," privacy. Meaning, it doesn't necessarily have to be this big, big issue of whether or not there's kedusha there. There's no kedusha there. No, maybe there is kedusha there. Walls are just simply for privacy. We're doing the avoda. We want to be a little bit more modest in the way in which we do avoda. Okay. So, as much as we attempted, the Gemara unsuccessfully has proven that whether or not Kedusha Rishon to Kishla Shaisa Kishla Asilavo is a Machlokas Tanayim, right now the Gemara has it as, we don't know. Meaning, we certainly know there is a position that Kishla Shaisa Kishla Asilavo, what, is there a counter to that? Right now we don't know. And we're looking for a counter because at least we want to give the people on Beis Chonyo some Tanaim that they could rely upon. Because right now, our Mishnah here in Megillah says, you cannot. The Mishnah in Tzvachim says, you cannot. And right now, the way we ended on the Braisa, everyone also would say, you cannot. Okay, so. The Gemara initially proposed that he said that Kedusha is only tied with the Beis HaMikdash, but the Gemara said, not necessarily. You don't have to say that. So Elaki Hani tonight. So the Gemara says, okay, so it's going like the following. The Tanya Willington Braisa. Am Rabbi Shmuel Rav Yossi Lama Manu Chachamim Es Elo. Discussion of coming back to Eretz Yisrael again, going back to that period of Ezra and Nehemiah, going back and counting the Bate Arechoma, the walls the city surrounded by walls. Now, cities surrounded by walls have a lot of halachas. Okay, I'm overstating it, but a number of halachas attached to those cities. And when I say a wall, I mean a wall going back to the time of Yeshua ben Nun. Rashi points out three halachas. Number one, shiluch mitzora. Mitzora has to be sent out of Gimel Machanos. So this halacha applies to wall cities. Halacha number two is Batei Arechoma. Sales of houses in these wall cities. Halacha number three, not a Doraisa halacha, but still the halacha of reading the Megillah on the 15th. So if you're a walled city going back to the time of Yehoshua ben Nun, so you have a number of halachas that apply to you. So when they came back into Eretz Yisrael, so they were all sent into exile, they come back into Eretz Yisrael, so let's remind each other which cities had walls going back to the time of Yehoshua ben Nun. And they counted it up. How many did they count? So that's what we're learning right now. So, Lama Manu Chachamim Es Elu. Now, if you look over there in the Psukim, in the Braisa, it comes out that they counted only nine cities. So Shekasha'alu B'nei Gola Matzos Eilu V'Kiddushum. So when the B'nei Gola came back, they came back and they sanctified these cities. Aval Rishonos. But cities that they had walls, Butlu, Mishabatla Arit. So as far as the Kedusha is concerned, So it was bato once the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. So Amakasavar, Kedusha Rishona, Kishla, Shaita Velo, Kishla, Asid Lava. Now, granted, of course, over here that we're not talking about the Beis HaMikdash and we're not talking about the Kedusha of the Beis HaMikdash. Granted over here that we're talking about Bate Arichoma, but right now the Gemara is assuming that it's really one and the same issue. Meaning to say that once these cities were destroyed, so the Kedusha is gone, and they have to be reinvested with Kedusha. Now, exactly how that's done, I'm not perfectly sure, but it doesn't matter. The point is that they have to be reinvested with Kedusha. Amakasava Kedusha Vishona Kishla Shaita Velo Kishla Selava. So over here, whoever's the author of this Brisa, it's Rabbi Shmuel. Rabbi Shmuel Bar Rabbi Yossi. So Rabbi Shmuel Bar Rabbi Yossi, the author of this Brisa, clearly is of the position that the Kedusha is only a function of edifice. And once the edifice is gone, the Kedusha is gone. So the Gemara says, Uriminu. So on this Brisa, we have the following. I'm Rabbi Shmuel Bar Rabbi Yossi. What do you mean? It wasn't just these cities. Valo Kvar Nemar. Meaning, go back to the Chumash, go back to Dvarim, the third Perek. So Shishim Ir Kol Cherev Argov. Uksiv Kol Ela Arim Bitsuros Chama Gavoa. 60 cities that were walled. So Ela Lama Manucha Chamim Es Elu. Why these cities? Kishalu B'nei Gol Amatsu Elu V'Kiddushim. So it's just that they found these cities and they were Mekaj these cities. So the Kiddushim, the Gemara says, what? What do you mean sanctified? I'm sorry, Kiddushim Hashta? What do you mean? They sanctified them right now as we turn to the Amud Beis? So Ha'amre Lo Tzrich L'Kiddushe. What do you mean? The Brisa says they don't require to be Mekudash. Elamatsu Es Elu Uman So the verb over here is not that they sanctify them, but simply they counted them. Okay. So now, the Brisa continues. Velo Elu Bavad Ela Okay, so in this Brisa, it basically says like this, that any city that had a wall around it, so we don't need to consecrate them, we don't need to re-sanctify them, the sanctity exists, because sanctity exists in perpetuity, period. Now, this Brisa that we just learned together is the Shita Rabbi Shmuel Bar Rabbi Yossi. The problem is that the previous Brisa, where the verb that was used over there was not that we counted those cities, but we were mekadesh those cities, so that also was ascribed to Rabbi Shmuel Bar Rabbi Yossi, so that leaves us off at a little bit of an impasse. So and the Gemara notes that right now, Kasha de Rabbi Shmuel, de Rabbi Shmuel, so Trey Tanai Liba de Rabbi Shmuel Bar Rabbi Yossi. So the Gemara says, look, one proposal is that, okay, unfortunately, the Masorah broke down a little bit in terms of what Rabbi Shmuel Bar Rabbi Yossi's position is, yesh v'yesh. Some students say that he said one thing, and some students say that he said another thing. Ibai zema ha Rabbi Lazar Rabbi Yossi amra. Or maybe that second brisa is somewhat misquoted, meaning it was quoted b'shem Rabbi Shmuel Bar Rabbi Yossi, but the truth of the matter is, it's really Rabbi Lazar Rabbi Yossi. D'tanya, and we have ways to confirm that, because we have another brisa, and that is Rabbi Lazar Rabbi Yossi amar, Asher lo choma, the Torah when describing it having a choma, so the word lo is spelled lamed vav aleph, so that's strange, meaning it has a choma or it has a wall, or another way to read it is it does not have a wall. Well, that of course is confusing. And what the Gemara is understanding is alfa pisha ein lo achshav haya kodem lachein. The point is that even if it loses the wall, still it's going to have its kedusha in perpetuity. So you see over here that the shita of Rebbe Lazar Rebbe Yossi is that the Kedusha that's invested is going to remain in perpetuity, even though we don't have the edifice backing up the Kedusha anymore, but the Kedusha remains. Okay, what comes out now is basically, it's a Machlokas Tanayim. Whether the Kedusha remains in perpetuity or it goes with the edifice, with the building or the walls being destroyed, Machlokas Tanayim. Okay, the preponderance of Mishnah certainly seems to support the idea that Yerushalayim and its Kedusha remains in perpetuity, even though there is no building backing it up. So that's our Mishnah here in Megillah. It's the Mishnah in Zvachim. And then what prompted this whole discussion was Rabbi Yitzchak reporting that in Beis Chonyo, in some temple that existed in Egypt, so they were offering karbanos post-Chorban Bayis Sheni. So how can they do that? There's no heter bamos once we have Kedusha of Yerushalayim in the Beis HaMikdash, even though there's no building. So what the Gemara said now, and it was a lengthy discussion, but in defense of their viewpoint, so there is another side. There is another viewpoint that says that with the destruction of the second Beis HaMikdash, so the Kedusha is no longer in Beis HaMikdash, and therefore there would be a Heter Bamas. Okay. Lengthy discussion. The conclusion is it's a machlokas. And the truth of the matter is you talk about scratching the surface, right? I said this many times. So we are but just scratching the surface over here. A perfect example, illustration of scratching the surface. Because this discussion of Kishla Shaisav Kishla Silavo is a discussion to be had regarding the Beis HaMikdash. It's a discussion to be had regarding Eretz Yisrael. If you hold like one, do you necessarily hold of the other? Okay, so there is much more to discuss on this particular topic. But right now, at least we got the vocabulary, so that at least we can discuss it intelligently. Okay, now, transition time, shall we? We're on Yud Amud Beis, and the Gemara now is going to launch into Medrash. Okay, generally speaking, you have halacha, you have midrashim. Okay, halacha is discussing the rules, in other words, a clarification of all the halachas of the Torah, which is the majority of Gemara. And then every now and then, the Gemara gives us a little bit of Agadata, a little bit of Jewish, of Medrash. But generally speaking, though, it is a small portion of the Gemara. Now, if you want to go through the Pesukim Midrashically and see the Jewish that's given by the Chachamim, so you open up, generally speaking, a Medrash. Okay? The Midrashim, generally speaking, were written well after the times of the Mishnah. Basically the Amoraim are attributed to writing the Midrashim. Midrash Rabbah, Tanchuma, so all those Midrashim, so generally speaking, are ascribed authorship by the Amoraim. Obviously, their Midrashim are based on Masorah, but they're the ones who author the Midrashim. Okay, and every now and then in the Gemara, we get like a little window into the world of Midrashim, but it's a little window. Okay, here, it's more than just a little window. Okay, the wall has been opened. Okay, so what the Gemara now is going to do for the rest of today's daf, and this will be now for almost a week, and this will be really delightful, is that we're going to be going through the Megillah and we're going to be darshing the Megillah, pasuk by pasuk. Okay, we're not going to go through the entirety of the Megillah. Megillah is particularly long; it's 10 parakim, and pasuk count is somewhere around 250. Okay, it's particularly long. We're not going to go through all of it. The Gemara is not going to go through all of it. The Gemara is going to go through, I'm saying right now, I'm just going on memory. So I'm saying right now that the Gemara is going to hit about half of the Megillah. I don't even think half. Okay. And then maybe a couple of points about the second half of the Megillah. But right now we're going to be, it's going to turn into Medrash. Okay. So, as far as a larger question, which I asked my Chavrusa, I myself don't know. Like, why did this happen? Meaning, why did the Medrash get inserted over here into the Gemara? Why wasn't the Medrash kept separate as it normally is? So I don't know. Okay. But nevertheless, it's a treat for us. So let's really enjoy. We're starting obviously in the beginning. So you open up now to the first pasuk of the Megillah. And not only are we starting in the first pasuk, but we're starting in the first word. So, Amar Rebbe Levi, V'itema Rebbe Yonos, and Davar Zemesoros, B'yadinam, Anshe Knesset Zagadola. So we have a tradition going all the way back to Anshe Knesset Zagadola. Komakum Shenemar, V'yi Eno Lashon Tsar. So you see the word V'yi, so it's bad news. It's foreshadowing something bad is going to happen. So V'yi, you can see it actually as a contraction. V'y, it's like woe unto us. So, and the Gemara says, let me present to you a lot of support for this particular thesis. Number one, Vahi Bimech Hashverosh, so Hava Haman. So, right, the Megillah, so you know. So we introduce Hashverosh, and then, just a short while later, at the beginning of the third parak, so we're introduced to Haman. Number two, Vahi Bimech Shvod HaShoftim. So, Hava Rav. So, at the beginning of Rus, so it starts off Vahihi, and it goes right into a famine. Vahi Ki Echel HaAdam LaRov. David, I was thinking about you in terms of order, because the Gemara over here is going to be all over the place in terms of order. Okay. So, and I have no rhyme or reason why, but okay. So, Vayihiki Echel HaAdam LaRov. So, at the end of Parshas Bereishis, and Vayar Hashem Ki Rabas Ras HaAdam. And then immediately right after the way that the general humanity behaved, which was not good. Vayihi Ben Asami Kedem. Here we're talking about the Dor HaFlaga. We're in Parshas Noach. And Avon Nivna Lanu Ir, and then the building of the tower. So we are now Parshas Lech Lecha and Asa Mechama in World War, the original World War, so to say. This is the fifth parak of Yehoshua and V'charbo Shlufa Biyado. And Yehoshua was confronted by the Malach. Happens to be that in Megillah, in the beginning of our Masechta, we went over that episode. Vayi Hashem es Yehoshua, Vayimalu b'nei Yisrael. Here we are in the sixth parak of Yehoshua. And now, so it starts off Vayihi, and so someone took from the spoils of war, should not have done so. Right? It was Achan, but okay. Vayihi ish echad min ha-ramasayim. So here now we're in the beginning of Shmuel, the very beginning of Shmuel, the first pasuk of Shmuel. And ki eschana ahev Hashem segar rachma. And Chana's struggle with having a child. Vayihi kasher zaken Shmuel. So here now we're in the eighth parak of Shmuel, Shmuel Aleph. And his sons just simply were not following in his footsteps. This is now the 18th parak of Shmuel Aleph. And now, after David defeats Goliath, which fantastic, but then the moment that happens, Shaul starts looking at David, wondering, suspicious, jealous. Okay, and it goes downhill in terms of their relationship. Okay, we're moving now to Shmuel Beis. Vayihi ki yashav ha-melech beveiso. David now is he's settled, and rakatalo sivne bais. And Akash Baruch Hu says to him, "Look, everything's great. You can't build the Beis HaMikdash." Okay, fine. So we now have so far a number of supports to the thesis that you see the word vayihi, and so what you should be able to expect is that bad news coming. It's a foreshadow.
I think there are a lot of values that are
vayi 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 vayi. Okay, vaksiv. Thank you. Set me up beautifully. Vaksiv vayi bayam hashmini. So the Gemara now points out, okay, but in order to have a thesis, so it's got to be consistent. And the Gemara is now going to point out, not always the case. So notable example, vayi bayam hashmini. V'tanya v'lantan b'raisa osro yam. Ha'isa simcha lefnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu kiyom shenivra bo shamayim v'aretz. Opening day of the Mishkan. Second year in the Midbar, first day of Nisan. So that is right, which is the eighth day after the Yemei HaMiluin. Fine. So and Ksivach Vayi B'Yom Hashmini Uksiv Hasam Vayi Er Vayi Voker Yom Echad. And so it is tantamount to Ma'aseh Bereishis. Okay. So and it's a good thing. And meanwhile, it opens up with the words Vayi. The Gemara says B'Hashachiv Nadav Aviyu. So the Gemara says, okay. In that particular example, does not ruin our theory. Why? Because it was also on that day that Nadav and Avihu died. So it did foreshadow something tragic. So now we're in the beginning of Malachim. Malachim Aleph, this is the sixth parak. And 480 years after Yetzias Mitzrayim, so Shlomo HaMelech builds the first base of Mikdash. And the Gemara says, go back now to Parshas Vayetze, where Yaakov sees Rachel. And on top of that, go back to Ma'aseh Bereishis, where you have Vayihi, and Vayika Sheni, Vayika Shlishi, Vayika Tuva. And every day of Ma'aseh Bereishis, it says the words Vayihi. So right now, it was a nice thesis. It's not working out. In other words, there are a number of Vayihis in the Torah that are not foreshadowing bad. And so the Gemara says, so now what? So Amar Avashi, Kol Vayihi Hachi V'Ika Hachi, Vayihi Bimei, Eino Alashon Tzar. So now, just a small modification on our thesis, and that is that the word Vayihi by itself can go in either direction. But when it's Vayihi Bimei, so now we can point now in the direction of it's going to be bad. And the Mefarshim explain over here in the Gemara, the Maharsha says this, that it would have been sufficient how you say Bimei. By virtue of the fact now that it says Bimei and it also says Vayihi, so now you can understand the word Vayihi as being a foreshadow of bad things that are going to come.
Not the example the Gemara gave for Vayihi Bimei.
Right. So no, the Gemara says that Vayihi in of itself is not an indicator. It can go in either direction. Okay. Chamisha Vayihi Bimei Havu. So the Gemara says, okay. So now, the original concordantia. Okay, the Gemara now says, how many times does it say Vayihi Bimei? So the Gemara says a total of five. The Gemara did the all the legwork for us. So Vayhi b'mei Achashverosh, Vayhi b'mei Shvod HaShoftim. So the beginning of Esther, the beginning of Sefer Shoftim. The third one is Vayhi b'mei Amraphel. Okay, then that led to World War. Vayhi b'mei Achaz. So this is Yishayahu. Okay, this one, right? I was forced to look this one up. Anyway, I'm not holding in Yishayahu, right? I'm not proud of it, but anyway, this also spoke about an impending war that took place at that point in time. And finally, Vayhibi Me Yoyakim. So Yoyakim was the beginning of the end of Bais Rishon, and that also opens up with the words Vayhibi Me. Okay, so what we have over here are five instances in all of Tanakh that you see the word Vayhibi Me and Vayhibi Me, so that you can bank on, where the word Vayhi over there is to be understood as something that's bad that's going to happen. Okay, we're going to go a little bit further this morning because we have an opportunity to catch up. And so, Amar Rabbi Levi. So over here, we're going to come back to the Megillah momentarily. We are, again, the goal right now from here until the end of the parak is that we're going to be darshing the Megillah. But we quoted one statement of Rabbi Levi, so the Gemara is going to quote a couple of other statements of Rabbi Levi. Am Rabbi Levi Devar Zimasoros B'Yadinim Avasenu Amotz V'Amatz Yachim. So Amotz, who happens to be the father of Yishayahu, and Amatzia, who is a Melech Yehuda, so they happen to be brothers. Okay. So that's never reported in Tanakh. Meaning, we know in Tanakh the personality of Amotz. We know him as being the father of Yishayahu. We know about Amatzia, but the fact that they're brothers, so that we don't know in Tanakh, but we have a Mesorah. That's in fact so. So my Kamashman, the Gemara says, okay, very good. So genealogy, right? It's interesting, but like, why do we need to know that? So the Gemara says, Ki hada Amar Rav Shmuel bar Nachmani, Amar Rav Yonasan, Ki kala, I'm sorry, Kol kala, Shehi tznuah b'veitz chameha, Zoch v'yotzei mimena, Malachim u'Neviim. So when you have a kala, a new bride, and for that matter, even an old bride, but you have a kala, and she's very modest, so that modesty will translate into that her progeny are going to be kings and prophets. So min ala mi Tamar. So we see from Tamar dichsi vayira Yehuda ve'echshevel azona ki kisasa panaha. So Yehuda sees her and thinks to himself that she's a prostitute because she covered her face. Now, if you know the story, great. And if you don't know the story, so look it up. So the mishum de kisasa panaha ve'echshevel azona. So the Gemara says, so now, right, it doesn't make sense. Meaning he sees her, she's really covered, she's really modest, and he thinks that she's a prostitute. Generally speaking, okay, it would seem to be the opposite. So Ela Mishom de Kisa Paneha Beveis Chameha Velo Hava Yadala. So in other words, with Kisa Paneha, we're not talking about her current mode of dress. It's talking about while she was in her father-in-law's house, she was always covered to the point where her father-in-law didn't even recognize her. Okay, that's the kind of modesty that we're talking about. So Zachav Yetzim Emen Malachim Neviim Malachim Mi David and Neviim. Now, in terms of her being the progenitor of kings, so we know, meaning that's every king. Notable exceptions, but that's certainly of Malchus Yehuda, that's every king. And the whole lineage of Malchus comes from Tamar. So we don't have to make much of that. How do we know that she's the progenitor of Nevi'im as well? Amotz and Amatzia are brothers. Meaning, so now that we know that, so Amatzia is a king. Amotz is the father of Yishayahu, who is a Navi. Okay. Amar Rabbi Levi Davar Zeh Mesoros B'Yadinu Me'Avasenu. Another Mesorah that we have is the following. Makom Aron Einu Min Amida. That when you put the Aron in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, so it occupies zero space. It has linear measurement, and it occupies zero space. So how does that work? Exactly. So, Malcolm Aaron Einam in Amida. Telling Namihachi the Gemara quotes the Brisa supporting this as well. Aaron Shasa Moshe Yeshlo Esser Amos Lechol Ruach. The distance between the Aaron and the walls interior of the Kodesh Kodashim is ten Amos in every direction. Uksiv Lifnei Advir Esrim Ama Orech Uksiv Kanaf Akruv Achad Esser Amos Kanaf Akruv Achad Esser Amos. The total length from wall to wall, interior in the Kodesh HaKadoshim is 20 Amos. And the distance between each side of the Aron and the interior wall is 10 Amos. So now, where's the Aron itself? So again, exactly. Aaron Gufa Hecha Avakai Ela Lav Shmamina Benes Hayaomid. So it was there, and it was there Benes. Okay. Rabbi Yonasan. Okay, just a couple more minutes for this morning. If you need to go, I totally understand. But we're just going to go a little bit further this morning as we have an opportunity now to catch up. And these dafim are pretty sizable. So now is a great time to catch up. Okay, so the so now introduction. So when you're going to be talking about a particular work, so you want to give a brief introduction. I kind of get into those things. So the Gemara over here is now going to be talking about the intros that were presented by the Amoraim when introducing Megillas Esther. So they're going to darsh Megillas Esther, and before doing so, they're going to give an intro. And so a number of Amoraim had a number of introductions, and the Gemara now is going to give us all the introductions. I don't mean all, but a lot. A number of introductions. These intros are short, but we're going to go through a lot of them, and they're going to go well into tomorrow's daf. We're just going to be covering the first, let's say, three this morning. Rabbi Yonasan Pasach Le'Pischalai Parshasa Mehacha. When opening up and darshing the Megillah, so he would open up with a pasuk in Yeshayahu. V'kamti aleihem. And the pasuk goes on. V'hichrati levavol shem u'she'er v'nin v'necha no mashem. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to totally destroy and abolish Bavel. There's not going to be anything left of Bavel. Now, when we say anything left of Bavel, what does that mean? So shem zeksav. So the writing of Bavel, in other words, the lettering of Bavel, that's gone. And she'er zelashen. Now, as far as the share, sha'ar, so that's the language. Babylonian language is gone. Tosos points out, what is the Gemara talking about? That the Babylonian language is gone, right? Currently, do you know what we're reading? It's called the Babylonian language. It's Aramaic. So what in the world does that mean? So Tosos says, there are two short Tososim over here. Tosos writes, sha'ar zeloshon kasha, sha'adayim him mesaprim bebavo, beloshon aramis, venira, the Rosalama Lasha Machos, Shamalachim Mishtam Shimbo, Shain, Shar Ha'ama Kirimbo. Okay. There was a certain dialect of Aramaic that was spoken amongst the kings. That is what the Navi is predicting is going to be lost. There are other answers to this question. Anyway, we continue. Nin Zemachos. So a Nin is a reference to the Machos. In other words, the Machos is going to be gone. And Neched Zevashti. And the Neched is a reference to Vashti. And over here as a fantastic introduction to the Megillas Esther, so you know one of the first people we're introduced to is Vashti. Okay, so in other words, Esther is all about Persia. There's a trace amount of Bavel that we're seeing. The last remnants of Bavel are found in the beginning of Megillas Esther, meaning Vashti is a descendant. The Gemara over here describes her as being a granddaughter of Achashverosh, and right, we'll discuss this a little bit later on. The marriage between Vashti was a granddaughter. Okay, thank you. Thank you for catching. Vashti was a granddaughter to Nebuchadnezzar, and part of the arrangement so that Achashverosh can assume the throne is that he's going to marry royalty. Granted, Achashverosh was running the Persian kingdom, but nevertheless, though, he marries into royalty, albeit from a different royal family, from a different kingdom altogether, but he marries into royalty, and that's the marriage between Achashverosh and Vashti. But anyway, Vashti really is she's the remnant. She's the last remaining royal lineage of the Babylonian family. Next. Rabbi Shmuel bar Nachmani, Pasach Pischalai Lai Parshas Mehacha. So this is now Rabbi Shmuel bar Nachmani and his intro to the Megillah. Pasuk in Yeshayahu. This is towards the end of Sefer Yeshayahu. We're familiar with this pasuk. We read it as a maftir for a fast day. Tachas anatzus yaleh v'rosh v'sachad hasirpad yaleh hadas. So the Navi goes on to describe that one is going to replace the other. And tachas anatzus tachas haman arasha shas asma avodah zara. So the na'atzus is a reference to an avodah zara, specifically here in this context, Haman. Haman treated himself like an avodah zara. Everyone bow down to me. And so, dechsev uvechol hana'atzutzim uvechol hana'alalim. Okay, and we have a pasuk that speaks to this idea that the na'atzutz is a reference to avodah zara. And yale virosh. So the rosh of here is a Mordechai shenekra rosh lechol abisamim. Mordechai is the first of the spices. What does that mean? Shenemar ve'atakach lechol abisamim rosh more deror, because in Parshas Kisisa, when the Torah describes the spices that are used for the Shemen HaMishcha. Second time today that we're talking about the Shemen HaMishcha. So the spices that are used, so the first one that's being mentioned is Mar Darur. Now, from there, what you're going to do is you're going to turn to the Targum, Mitargaminan Mare Dachi. That Mar Darur in Aramaic is translated as Mari Dachi. If you take that word and you put it together, so what do you get? You get Mordechai. Okay, fine. So that's the Rosh. So that means to say that Mordechai is replacing Haman. That's one. Two, and Tachas Asirpat, Tachas Vashti, HaRasha, Bas Benosha, Nebuchadnezzar Rasha, Shesar Fidas Beis Hashem. So the Sirpad is a reference to Vashti. Vashti is a granddaughter to Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar destroyed the Beis HaMikdash. The word Sirpad is a contraction of the word Saraf Refidas, meaning she's a descendant of someone who burnt the Beis HaMikdash, meaning her grandfather Nebuchadnezzar. And so who's going to replace her? So Dichsiv Refidas Zahav, sorry. The Gemara is just simply quoting a pasuk, showing us that the Beis HaMikdash is in fact, can be described as a Refida. And Yala Hadas, and taking her place is going to be Hadas. Now Zu Esther Hatzadeke Shenikra Hadasa Shenemra V'yomen Es Hadasa V'yala Hashem L'Shem, I'm sorry, V'yomen Es Hadasa. Now the idea that Hadas is Hadasa, so there, it's not a stretch. Meaning, in the Megillah itself, it says that Esther also goes by the name Hadasa. Okay. So that is, so those are our two replacements. Meaning, Mordechai is going to replace Haman, Esther is going to replace Vashti. And Vayala Shem L'Shem Zemukur Megillah. And when the Pasuk then goes on to describe, we're back in the Pasuk Yeshayahu, and it says that it's going to be L'Shem, that's the Megillah, which is publicizing the miracle. La'os olam lo yikares elo yimei Purim. And Purim is going to remain in perpetuity. Right? This, you see this in the Megillah itself, and there is a lot of literature supporting this idea that Purim exists in perpetuity. Now, I don't fully understand what I mean when I say that, but the idea expresses itself numerous times, and over here we get another treat to this idea, lo yikares. It's not going to end. Okay, let's do one more for today. Rabbi Shulman Levi Pasal Chepischalai Parshas Mehalcha. Okay, so when opening up, so he would start the following. Vayi Kasher Sas Hashem Lakechem Lativ Eschem, Kain Yasis Lahara Aschem. Kadosh Baruch Hu will be happy when he does good, and Kadosh Baruch Hu also will be happy when he has to provide bad. Umi Chadi, the Gemara says, really, Kadosh Baruch Hu, Bema Palasim Shal Reshaim, meaning when a Kadosh Baruch Hu needs to destroy, as part of Din, so he needs to destroy, but he's happy about that. Vaksiv, the Gemara says, that's not true. So, B'tzeis l'fnei ha'chalutz v'amrim hodol Hashem ki l'olam chasto. So, when going out to battle against Ammon and Moab, we thank the Kadosh Baruch Hu. V'amar, Rabbi Yochanan mimnei malo nemar ki tov ba'odazu. Now, normally when you say hodol Hashem, so what we are trained to say habitually is hodol Hashem ki tov. Over here in this particular pasuk in Devar Yomim, it just simply says Hodul Hashem without the words Kitov. There's got to be a reason why. Because people died. In other words, a lot of people died, and it was a tremendous tragedy. And Akash Baruch Hu does not rejoice; he doesn't get happy about it. And we're all familiar that the Malachim wanted to say Shira as we went through Kriyas Yamsa, but the Mitzvah were drowning. And so Kadosh Baruch Hu says, not now, it's not an appropriate time to say Shira. The obvious question that everybody asks is, well, the Malachim didn't say Shira. You know who did? We did. Az Yashir Moshe. Okay. Anyway, Amar Rebbe Lazar, who ain't Osasava Acherim Masis? So Kadosh Baruch Hu himself is not happy. Meaning, when he has to punish, so he's not happy. However, other people are entitled to. Acher Mesis, Videkanami, Dechsiv, Kain Yasis. The word Yasis is conjugated where it's causative. In other words, he himself is not happy, but others are. Veloksiv Yasush Mamina. So the Gemara says fine. So that is how we're darshaning, meaning he himself is not expressing any kind of joy. Kaviyachol. I mean, to the best that we can understand that, but he himself is not expressing it, but others certainly are entitled. Which, by the way, could very well be the answer to our question. Meaning, how are we saying Az Yashir? The answer is, Kadosh Baruch Hu is not happy, and the Malachim are also not allowed to be happy, but we could be happy. In other words, we experience Yeshua. Okay. Adkan. Okay, I know a really lengthy daf today, but it afforded me the opportunity to catch up. Let's give a really quick recap. Our topics today, we described the Kohen Gadol, different variations of the Kohen Gadol, Meshuch Mechama, sorry, didn't mean that. The Kohen that was appointed with the Shemin HaMishcha versus Merubah Begadim, they're both Kohen Gadols, but subtle differences between them. And also, if you had a temporary Kohen Gadol, and now the original comes back, so the temporary Kohen Gadol, what's the status? Does he still have the status of a Kohen Gadol? Our Mishnah said yes, but the Gemara notes that other Tanaim are not in agreement, and other Tanaim are of the position that he's in some sort of limbo state. Our second big topic of today, Bama Gadola versus Bama Katana. What could be offered during the short historical periods of time when Bama Katana was allowed, what could be offered? And the answer is only Nedar Nedava. Any obligatory offerings cannot be offered on Bama Katana, but only can be offered on Bama Gadola. Our next big topic of today, and this really covered a good part of today's daf, Shiloh Yerushalayim. After Shiloh, there was a Heter Bamos. After Yerushalayim, it says our Mishnah, there is no Heter Bamos. Why? Because once Yerushalayim was invested in Kedusha, once the Beis HaMikdash was built, Kitcha L'Shaita, Ula Asid Lavo. So that Kedusha exists in perpetuity, even if there is no Beis HaMikdash. Even if the Beis HaMikdash is destroyed, still the Kedusha is there and exists in perpetuity. And the Gemara goes on to discuss at length in today's daf, the Machlokas Tanaim, whether that's true, whether that's not true. As we pointed out already today, the preponderance of viewpoints is that it's Kisha La'asid Lavo, the Kedusha exists in perpetuity. Okay, and that took us all the way to Yud Amud Beis, that entire discussion. And then on Yud Amud Beis, so we start darshaning the Megillah. So we started with the word Vayihi. We had a thesis this morning that when you see the word Vayihi, it portends bad. And meanwhile, the Gemara, although at first defending that thesis, the Gemara had to modify it because it's not always true. But if it says Vayihi Bimei, which occurs five times in Tanakh, so then it portends something bad is going to happen. And the Gemara actually cited the five times that occurred. Then a couple of other statements that we saw by Rabbi Levi. Then in today's daf, we started with the introductions. A number of Amoraim, when introducing the Megillah, so they cite various Pesukim and Tanakh to frame the Megillah. And so far this morning we saw three of them, and to be continued tomorrow.